Welcome to the NTEB Prophecy News Podcast with your host and Bible teacher, Jeffrey Greider. Rightly divided, dispensationally correct, and standing on the authority of the King James Holy Bible, this program is brought to you by NowTheEndBegins.com.
And good afternoon, everybody. Happy Monday, and welcome to this edition of the Prophecy News Podcast. Today, they have just activated the Biden Protocol, and it will drastically change what happens in the upcoming election. The first major network poll following Thursday night's debate is out, and it contains some devastating data for President Joe Biden. According to a CBS News YouGov poll out Sunday, a whopping 72% of Americans believe Biden does not have the, quote, mental and cognitive health to serve as president, end quote. That's a 7-point increase from just 3 weeks ago. The people that actually control the White House have activated the Biden Protocol. Ecclesiastes 10:20, curse not the king, no, not in thy thought, and curse not the rich in thy bedchamber. For a bird of the air shall carry the voice, and that which hath wings shall tell the matter. On this episode, you may be reveling in the idea that pretend President Joe Biden did so badly on the debate last Thursday, but please allow me to temper your jubilance with some cold, hard reality. What you saw in that debate was all planned, was all intentional. Biden's handlers let you see his true condition, because his usefulness has come to an end. They have had this day in mind from the very beginning, and the Biden Protocol was created to deal with exactly what we see happening right now. What is the Biden Protocol? Simply put, it is the steps that need to be taken to retain power when Joe Biden's failing mind and body could no longer maintain the ruse. That time is right now, and you are watching it. On this episode, we show you the Biden Protocol and what's likely coming next. Also, over in France, Emmanuel Macron did very poorly in last night's snap election round number one, and now must pull a rabbit out of his hat to prevent the collapse of his entire political career. All this and much more on today's Prophecy News Podcast. Heavenly Father, we come before you, and we are glad and we are grateful. And Father God, we commit this time to you. We thank you for waking us up today. We thank you for the food on the table, the clothes on our back, the roof over our head. We're glad and grateful to be saved and serving. And Father God, we ask you to meet with us now and lead us and guide us into all truth. And we ask these things in Jesus' name. Today, we pray for lost souls. Loretta Oates, praying for sons Kenny and Matthew. Jane, for her son Troy. Julie Lynn, for her friend Katie Ann. Chona, for Estefano Jr., Eugenia, and her kids. Maricel and Cherry, and Chona's siblings, Julia and Maria Tricia. Chuck Edgerton would like prayer for his son Jacob and mom Lynette. Samantha is asking for salvation prayers for Beth. Deborah Hare would like salvation prayer for her unsaved family members. Rita would like prayer for unsaved Catholic family members. Teresa, unsaved family members. Lisa praying for her dad, John. Annabal for his unsaved kids. Deborah Milton's son, Billy. Hap Nightingale for his sons, Jimmy and Zach. Don Huff, Claire, and Virginia for salvation. Norman Merkel praying for his daughter, Kara, granddaughter, Ava. Son-in-law Stephen Matthews, and his child's mother, Lynette Crew. Henrique Larson for his parents, Kygel and Elizabeth, sister and spouse, Ingrid and Frederick, and his mom's Aunt Barrett. Roz praying for lost family members, Brian needs to be saved, Andrew Whittington, Marisol Barcina for Catholic family members in Panama. Rapture 57 for unsaved family. Gail praying for Jim and Shirley Medor, praying for her brother and his wife. People who need a healing today. Gail says, I'm having severe arthritis in my knees. Extremely painful. Please pray. Laurent, please pray for my nicotine addiction and mental health. Alicia for mental health, NC Jen for God to lift my grief and replace it with his strength. Shaycaster needs your prayer going through a difficult family time. Cher says my friend Ron has, they have discovered a large lump on his lung and he needs to get a biopsy done. Please pray for a good report. Also for granddaughter Cheyenne. Daniel R. for mental and emotional support. Sadie for wisdom and guidance. Heather for Lyme disease and rheumatoid arthritis. Jeff Ward. Please pray for my wife Amanda with cervical cancer and for me as we go through it together. Amber for complete healing and peace. Angela for sister-in-law Gail with stage 4 kidney disease and on dialysis. A prayer for my brother Larry to get saved. Linda's sister Mary Ann with rheumatoid arthritis. Asher, please pray for my mom. Juanita for daughter Madison battling depression. Gail has an unspoken. Stephanie, please pray for husband Andy to get saved and sober. Krista and Amanda Emaw battling breast cancer. Rob Beattie battling liver cancer. Ida Karulik battling cancer. And Michelle Christian battling bone cancer. Gail says, please pray for Katie. She needs a liver transplant. Annetta for a complete healing after having a stroke. Marcia Swanson has myalgic encephalomyelitis. George H. has health issues. James Rivette, recovery from addiction and mental health issues, and is also looking for work. Robert Wiley needs to live long enough in his battle with ALS disease to transfer his benefits to his wife Lisa. Please pray for that. Jill Puckett, losing her vision. Dina, running for soil and water conservation supervisor, please pray. Paul Caulfield needs prayer for battle with diabetes. Ron Alliston has cancer. Brooke Kettlecamp needs prayer to be transferred to a treatment facility for autism in her home state of Iowa. Dan Kane, please pray for my wife Roxy with MS and for son Jonathan. Rob's friend Mike has MS. Roz has asthma and scoliosis. Maddie Luck has Lewy body dementia. Daughter Michelle has neuropathy. Tracy, severe arthritis, diabetes type 2. Ricky Guder needs prayer for her eyesight. And Lori Ann needs prayer for her mom, Joyce, battling a blood clot and breast cancer. And for Aunt Dorothy, who has a brain tumor. Ladies who are expecting, spray of sunshine, please pray for son and girlfriend expecting twins. Jose De La Rosa and his wife Anna expecting their third. Marilyn Linaw, please pray for granddaughter-in-law Tori. Tanya, please pray for son Vincent and fiance Sarah. Abigail Wagner, she had a home delivery in June. I don't have the updates. Richard and Sandy, if you're listening, please let me know how that went. Deborah Mack, please pray for friend Gwen, who is pregnant, and Lauren is expecting a baby in December. Let's go to the chat room. This is from last night. Lulu, please pray for my son and his dog, which is very sick. Praying God's best for both of them. Love you all. Tom Rance is continuing to recover from his stroke and brain bleed, almost completely healed. Amen. Joy Piper, Jeffrey, I am having a heart procedure done on Wednesday the 3rd. My daughter just left. She is crying. Please pray for Carolyn. My life is in our Savior's hands. Spent the nights in the hospital for a flutter. So Joy Piper is having a heart procedure on Wednesday. Please pray. And Jeanette says, this is from Jan Lacker. If anyone is inclined to pray, please pray for me and my son. And we are very, very happy to do that. Heavenly Father, we take all these prayers and praises and we commit them to you and we ask you to work and move as only you can. And Father God, heal and restore, repair and reconcile everything that is out of place, that is out of whack, that is out of joint, that is broken. You fix it, Lord. And we put it all in your hands and ask for your blessing in Jesus' name. Amen.
John only out of Patmos, all the things he saw. Four horsemen they were riding to bring the wrath of God. The winepress of the nations in judgment bringing pain. You think you've seen the worst down here, it's gonna change. God's holy Lamb in power is vestured dipped in blood. He's coming with the robe in white, those who've overcome. They'll cry for rocks and mountains to fall and hide their face. But that won't stop the plan of God. It's gonna change. It's gonna change. It's coming from above. The King of Kings is coming back and the devil's on the run. Where will you be when the world has turned the page? Get your house in order now. It's gonna change. We're living in the last days, of this we have no doubt. As evil days grow worse and worse, we're listening for the shout. Oh, with great anticipation.
Amen.
And joy we can't contain, we're ready for our moving day. It's gonna change. It's gonna change. It's coming from above.
Amen.
The King of Kings is coming back and the devil's on the run. Where will you be when the world has turned the page? Get your house in order now. It's gonna change. It's gonna change. It's coming from above. The King of Kings is coming back and the devil's on the run. Where will you be when the world has turned the page? Get your house in order now. It's gonna change. Oh, it's gonna change.
Amen. And if you're just tuning in today, we are showing you that the powers that be have activated the Biden Protocol. What is the Biden Protocol? Well, let's take a little trip down memory lane to about 4.5 years ago and listen to Barack Obama telling you how he planned on having a third term in office.
I've said this before. People would ask me, knowing what you know now, do you wish like you had a third term? And I used to say, you know what? If I could make an arrangement where I had a stand-in, a front man or front woman, and they had an earpiece in, and I was just in my basement in my sweats, looking through the stuff, and then I could sort of deliver the lines, but somebody else was doing all the talking and ceremony. Wow. I'd be fine with that because I found the work fascinating. I write about even on my worst days, I found puzzling out, you know, these big, complicated, difficult issues.
All right, that's enough of you, Barack Obama, but he told us 4.5 years ago how he planned on having a third term, and guess what? It worked beautifully. Who did they pick to be the Democrat nominee? They picked the person who campaigned from his basement. They picked the person who had no chance of winning. And what did they do? They puffed him up. You blink your eyes. All of a sudden, Joe Biden received 81 million votes, if you believe that such a thing is possible. Do you believe that Joe Biden was more popular than Barack Obama? Do you believe that Joe Biden was more popular than Ronald Reagan? What force on the face of this earth could possibly work out that Joe Biden would get 81 million votes? Well, there is somebody that you have met in the pages of your Bible. And the Bible calls him the Prince of the Power of the Air. And this, of course, is Satan. And in the end times, the Bible says that the whole world lieth in wickedness. Ephesians 2:2 says, "Where in time past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience." That Bible verse that I read to you at the start of this broadcast, Ecclesiastes 10:20, "Curse not the king, no, not in thy thought, and curse not the rich in thy bedchamber." What is that verse telling you? That verse is telling you is don't secretly curse the king. Why? "For a bird of the air shall carry the voice, and that which hath wings shall tell the matter." What is Ecclesiastes telling you in 10:20? Showing you the prince of the power of the air. In Ephesians chapter 6, you know what Paul tells us? Paul tells us this in verse 10, Ephesians 6:10. "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand." Our top story today, usually we don't start with the top story, we work our way up there. But we're going to start with the top story today. It is massive, it is complex, it is vast, it is far-reaching. We're also going to talk about the drubbing that Emmanuel Macron received yesterday in round one of his snap election over in France. And he's in the same predicament that Adolf Hitler was in 1924 when he overreached and wound up in prison. Now, I'm not saying that Emmanuel Macron is going to go to prison. I'm just simply saying, just as Hitler was in a position in 1924 that it looked like he was never going to recover from, in 2024, 100 years later, Emmanuel Macron is also in a similar position. And we're going to talk about that. And nothing that is happening right now in France, in Europe, makes me think at all that Emmanuel Macron is not the guy to be the biblical man of sin. I think he is still the guy, and I think that he is going to pull the rabbit out of the hat in the same way that Adolf Hitler pulled the rabbit out of his hat in 1924 going into 1925. And we have everything you need to know about Macron, but we're going right in to our top story today. Now, back in 2023, I will say sometime around September or October of 2023, Ted Cruz, and it's funny because he follows us on X, and he has followed us for quite some time. So Ted Cruz knows exactly the type of things that we write about, the type of things that we talk about on the podcasts. I don't know if he listens to the Bible studies, but he definitely knows what's going on at Now the End Begins. And back in September, October of 2023, Ted Cruz made this shocking prediction that Barack Obama is actually running the country. Now, we've been saying that for 3.5 years, but it's nice to see when other people catch up. Take a listen to Ted Cruz saying Barack Obama is running the Biden administration.
Uh-oh, speed bumps keep popping up on President Biden's road to the White House again in 2024. More and more polling shows growing voter concern about his age, his son, the impeachment inquiry, his running mate, and their poor approval ratings. NBC News and now The Washington Post are taking note. The Post with this blaring headline, anxiety ripples through the Democratic Party over Biden. Senator Ted Cruz with this prediction of what's on tap.
In August of 2024, the Democrat kingmakers jettison Joe Biden and parachute in Michelle Obama.
Now, that's what Ted Cruz said in September, October of 2023. We have been saying it for longer than that. But isn't it startling? He said that in September. He said by August of 2024, Joe Biden was going to be out of the picture. And last Thursday night, Joe Biden was set free by his handlers, and the world was allowed to see what the rest of us already know.
Barack Obama is already running the Biden administration. I think he is already the puppet master. I think the odds of Michelle Obama parachuting in August of 2024 have risen dramatically.
Let's check that and debate. Sean Duffy, co-host of The Bottom Line on FBN. Kevin Walling, former Biden campaign surrogate. Great to see you both. All right, Kevin.
Before we listen to what they have to say, take a look in 2 Samuel chapter 11, and let's look at verses 14 through 17. 2 Samuel 11, verses 14 through 17. And it came to pass in the morning that David wrote a letter to Joab and sent it by the hand of Uriah. And he wrote in the letter, saying, set ye Uriah in the forefront of the hottest battle, and retire ye from him, that he may be smitten and die. And it came to pass, when Joab observed the city, that he assigned Uriah into a place where he knew that valiant men were. And the men of the city went out and fought with Joab, and there fell some of the people of the servants of David, and Uriah the Hittite died also. What did King David do? Well, this is his second great and grievous sin. He commits adultery with Uriah's wife, Bathsheba, and then he writes this letter telling them how they are to kill Uriah the Hittite, who was a valiant warrior for King David. David says, this is how we're going to get rid of Uriah the Hittite. Put him out in the forefront of the hottest battle. And then while he's fighting and counting on you to back him up, just step away and let him fight the armies all by himself. Now, I'm sure Uriah fought very valiantly, but he was overcome relatively quickly. And this was an intentional coup by King David. And this is exactly what they did to Joe Biden when they activated the Biden Protocol. What is the Biden Protocol? This is how they get rid of him when he is no longer serving usefulness to the party machine. And Joe Biden, over the last 2 or 3 months, and we have reported about this on the podcasts, we have reported about this very heavily on X, we played you clip after clip after clip of Joe Biden failing and mumbling and muttering and studying and stammering and forgetting what he was saying, videos of him just walking off into the distance when people are talking to him. And it got so bad that the people that control Biden decided that the debate was going to be on Thursday night. It was going to be where they do to Biden what King David had done to Uriah the Hittite. They exposed him. They put him out in the forefront of the hottest battle, and that is into a debate that they had already put in place. And we wrote an article the day of the debate talking about why would Donald Trump want to participate in a debate that was so rigged to be in favor of Joe Biden. Well, as it turned out, that debate was rigged so that Joe Biden was put in a place where his handlers could not help him, where the crowd could not distract from people, where Donald Trump would be more calm and reserved because he had no audience to egg him on. And they knew exactly what would happen to Joe Biden if they did that. And that's what they did. And that is the activation of the Biden protocol to remove him from power now that he is no longer able to continue.
As the Democrat on the panel, what do you think? Is she going to parachute in? And by the way, I'd pay good money to see her in a parachute.
Good morning, Harris. Well, listen, I think Ted Cruz should probably spend less time podcasting and more time trying to fund the government. But that aside, Barack Obama is not pulling the strings. Joe Biden has an 81% approval rating among Democrats. Donald Trump just has a 66% approval rating among Republicans. So Democrats love to wring our hands. We love to campaign. We love to complain. We love to write columns. We love to say, woe is me. And we need to what we need to do is fall in line and support this president the vice president who have successfully steered this country over the last 3 years.
And you think you can get his polling numbers, which are way underwater with, the rest of the United States? I mean, you look at one.
We're going to sure try, Harris.
All right, so that clip was from September, October of 2023. Now, you flash forward to last week, and the entire world saw what happened.
Time now to check in on lefties losing it in the media post that presidential debate, the one which made it impossible for them to hide their dude's cognitive decline. Yeah, after this mess, it's hard to pretend talk of Biden's befuddled state is some sort of right-wing conspiracy or due to out-of-context videos.
Move until we get the total ban on the total initiative relative to what we can do with more Border Patrol and more asylum officers.
President Trump?
I really don't know what he said at the end of that sentence. I don't think he knows what he said either. Look.
That was a classic line. And if Donald Trump would have had a live audience, he would not, I don't think, in my opinion, he would not have been able to react so calmly, rationally, and coolly to the mistakes that Biden started to make. He would have been more focused on the crowd than he would have been on his answers. He would have been too over the top trying to play to the crowd. But without a crowd, Donald Trump just simply listened to what Biden said. And because he had nobody to impress, no cheers, no applause, he just simply stated these things as a matter of fact. And it worked absolutely beautifully.
There were a lot of startling moments in this debate, including Biden's 15 lies and regurgitations of debunked myths from the fine people lie to suckers and losers lie. But one moment that hasn't got the coverage it deserves is Biden's bizarro claim that women in America are being raped by their in-laws and their sisters.
Look, there's so many young women who have been, including a young woman who just was murdered, and he went to the funeral. The idea that she was murdered by an immigrant coming in, they talk about that. But here's the deal: there's a lot of young women are being raped by their in-laws, by their spouses, brothers and sisters, it's just ridiculous, and they can do nothing about it. And they try to arrest them when they cross state lines.
Thank you.
There's a lot of young women being raped by their in-laws and brothers and sisters, and they try to arrest them when they cross state lines. He just said that.
I wonder what was going through Joe Biden's mind at the time. Could he possibly, in his very confused dementia state, could he possibly have been remembering what Ashley, his daughter, wrote in her diary? Remember when her diary was found? She had lost it, and she said in her diary, "I remember having sex with friends at a very young age, comma, showers with my dad, very much not appropriate." And wondering if she had been molested as a young child by her own father. Is that what Joe Biden's mind was going to? I don't know. I have no idea. But it sure gets kind of close.
Whatever concoction of drugs they had him on, it did not work as planned. And he was thoroughly confused, not just when he gave what should have been well-rehearsed answers, but also when Trump was talking.
From prisons, people that are from mental institutions, insane asylum, terrorists. We have the largest number of terrorists coming into our country right now. All terrorists, all over the world, not just in South America, all over the world. They come from the Middle East, everywhere. All over the world, they're pouring in. And this guy just left it open. And he didn't need legislation because I didn't have legislation. I said, close the border. We had the safest border in history. In that final couple of months of my presidency, we had, according to Border Patrol, who is great, and by the way, who endorsed me for president, but I won't say that, but they endorsed me for president. Brandon, just speak to him. But look.
That was another huge, huge moment in the debate for Trump and for Biden. Biden had earlier said that he was endorsed by the Border Patrol. Moments after he said that during the live debate, the Border Patrol posted to X that they did not, would not, and never will endorse Joe Biden for president. So what Biden said was a lie. It wasn't even true. But then, if you were watching the video of that, Donald Trump calls him Brandon, and we all know why the name Brandon was given to him. During his rebuttal, Donald Trump looks right at Joe Biden, calls him Brandon, and there is no sense of acknowledgement in the dead eyes of Joe Biden that he even understood what Donald Trump just said. He should have reacted to that very, very strongly. And he didn't react to that, almost as if his mind was unable to process it. He didn't understand that Trump was giving him maybe the biggest insult of the night. And it didn't even register in his brain.
Brandon, just speak to them. I just love Trump casually dropping a Brandon in the debate. And post-debate, the very folk who are regularly featured on this segment for losing it on their various programs were waking up to the reality that Biden's cognitive decline could no longer be hidden from their audience. Here's one of those lefties losing it, MSNBC's Joy Reid.
I, too, was on the phone throughout much of the debate with Obama world people, with Democrats, with people who are political operatives, with campaign operatives. My phone really never stopped buzzing throughout. And the universal reaction was somewhere approaching panic. Hmm. The people who were texting with me were very concerned about President Biden seeming extremely feeble, seeming extremely weak. And
breaking news, this just in. Supreme Court affirms absolute immunity for official acts in Trump case. The U.S. Supreme Court ruled on Monday that former President Donald Trump enjoys absolute immunity from prosecution for official acts during his presidency, although it left the exact extent of that protection for the lower courts to decide. Chief Justice John Roberts, writing for the majority, says the president enjoys no immunity for his unofficial acts, and not everything that the president does is official. The president is not above the law, but Congress may not criminalize the president's conduct in carrying out the responsibilities of the executive branch under the Constitution. And this is a breaking story. It just came across the wire during this podcast, and things are changing. Things are changing rapidly. And all of this has to do with the Biden protocol. Now, what we haven't seen yet, what we haven't seen is what the left is going to do to replace Joe Biden. Will it be Gavin Newsom? Number of people are saying that. Will it be Hillary Clinton? Nope, no chance of that. Will it be Kamala Harris? Maybe. I mean, she is as weak possibly gets, but she's an incumbent. She is in. She is part of the team that is currently pretending to operate things. So it's always harder to unseat the incumbent. So Gavin Newsom is a relatively strong contender. Kamala Harris, that would be a crazy choice, but she's a relatively strong contender. And my favorite, Michelle Obama. Will she accept the nomination? Will they offer her the nomination? Well, we've been saying for the past number of years that Joe Biden would be replaced by Michelle Obama, and we'll just have to wait to see how it all shakes out. All right, take a listen to this. Joe Biden stands humiliated with his mouth open as Jill Biden speaks for him.
We've got to do more on Friday's debate. As you know, myself and Kristen Tate were predicting for, of course, these debates were going to be disastrous. So let's let Kristen take it from here.
Yes, I mean, this could have been the most consequential presidential debate in at least modern political history. It's done for Joe Biden. I mean, it could not have been more of a disaster. During and after that debate, Chris, I received so many exasperated and panicked messages from liberals, some of whom I haven't even heard from a decade, stating that they were in complete shock over Biden's physical and mental state. And every single one of these Democrats told me that they think he needs to step down and be replaced with another candidate. And it's not just voters saying this, Chris. It is the elite of the elite in the Democratic Party. The New York Times itself, the editorial board said that he needs to step down at this point. And it's not just them. The New Yorker, The Economist, many other publications have done the same. So the president was at Camp David this weekend. Apparently, he met with his family to discuss what he will do moving forward. But I've read that his family, especially Hunter Biden, who has been a key player in his advisory, has said that he should stick it out. So I don't know what's going to happen if he refuses to leave and all the powers that be want him gone.
Look, it's extraordinary stuff. And I think, as you say, that editorial board of the New York Times calling for him to stand down as the president, to not seek a second term, is very telling. The New York Times is the Bible of the liberal left in the United States, of course. But I want to talk about a dynamic here that won't be surprising to our viewers, Kristen, but I think it's very important to the dynamic in the United States. And that is, while we've been highlighting for years all the classic examples of where Joe Biden is losing his way and stumbling and bumbling and showing that he's not up to the job, the media, the mainstream media in the US, hasn't really focused on that a lot. So people might have been surprised when they switched on the debate and watched, they saw stuff like this for perhaps the first time.
making sure that we continue to strengthen our healthcare system, making sure that we're able to make every single solitary person eligible for what I've been able to do with the dealing with everything we have to do with. Look, if we finally beat Medicare.
Thank you, President Biden.
Completely lost, Kristen, completely confused, and nowhere to hide, and no media manipulation able to draw attention away from it.
Yes, I mean, to your point earlier, though, it's kind of mind-blowing to me how shocked Democrat voters are about Biden's poor mental and physical state. I mean, every single week, you and I are talking about some new mortifying incident exposing the fact that he's basically been a houseplant for the last few years. But I guess, you know, so many liberals, they just blindly believe whatever the media tells them. And the media and the Democrats, they thought that they could control reality by controlling the narrative. They do this with everything. They do this with the open border, which they tell us is secure. They do it with our cities, where they tell us crime is actually totally under control. And they were doing it with Joe Biden, telling us he's totally with it. He's the smartest guy in the room. Green John Pair gets up there at the podium and tells us, oh, he's never been sharper. But every once in a while, Chris, reality pokes through and exposes the truth. And in this case, it has completely shattered their faux narrative about Joe Biden. So now the entire establishment on the Democrat side is panicked and they don't know what to do.
Absolutely. Now, I think one of the aspects of the debate that hasn't got enough attention is that Donald Trump was a little bit more disciplined than we're used to seeing him. I mean, it was a weird debate in many ways. There's lots of Trumpisms in there, but he didn't go over the top. And that allowed him to have that contrast, the focus to fall onto Joe Biden.
So I don't know how anybody could possibly be surprised by Joe Biden's debate performance. We've been watching him crumble for the last 3.5 years. But the way that the mainstream media controls the narrative, the general thought population, it is a scary, scary thing.
And I want to just play this clip because this just showed the gentlest little niggle where Donald Trump was pointing out to the whole audience, the whole of the U.S. and indeed the free world, what was going on here.
And I'm going to continue to move until we get the total ban on the total initiative relative to what we're going to do with more Border Patrol and more asylum officers.
President Trump?
I really don't know what he said at the end of that sentence. I don't think he knows what he said either.
Yeah, it was pretty gentle. It was pretty telling. And it was a good performance from Trump, wasn't it, Kristen?
Yes, very restrained. He did have some great moments in there, but overall kind of a boring debate performance. But that was what was so key about it. If this election is a referendum on Trump, Trump loses. If it's a referendum on Joe Biden, Biden loses. And because we're all talking about Joe Biden, it's kind of becoming a referendum on him. Nobody's really talking about Trump. He was very restrained, and he kind of let Joe Biden expose himself for how weak he is, both physically and mentally.
Well, let's go back to the ramifications from all this. And first up, I want to show what Joe Biden had to say about the debate the following day. This is pretty telling, too.
I don't walk as easy as I used to. I don't speak as smoothly as I used to. I don't debate as well as I used to. But I know what I do know. I know how to tell the truth.
Yeah, there you go. The president basically having to admit his own problems. He says he knows what he does know, which is probably.
All right, so that's enough of that. But suffice to say, the Biden protocol has been activated. Now, we were tipped off a couple of weeks ago that this was coming. Take a listen to what Biden press secretary Karine Jean-Pierre said about all those videos on the news purporting to show Biden mumbling, stumbling, freezing, and zoning out. She gaslit the entire country by telling us that every one of those videos was a deep fake and a cheap fake. take a listen to Karine Jean-Pierre Gaslighting America.
Ironically, several recent deepfakes actually attacked the president for thanking troops. For thanking troops, that is what they're attacking the president for. Both in Normandy this happened, and again in Italy. And I think that it tells you everything that we need to know about how desperate Republicans are here. Instead of talking about the president's performance in office, and what I mean by that is his legislative wins, what he's been able to do for the American people across the country, we're seeing these deep fakes, these manipulated videos. And it is, again, done in bad faith.
Now, that is total gaslighting. If you were going to make the case that the video clips that everybody was watching on the news and replayed endlessly on social media, if you were going to successfully make the case that those were deep fake videos showing that Joe Biden was not actually in as bad a shape as everybody said he was, all you would have to do is get what the real video would be and show it side by side with the deep fake version. That's all that you would have to do, and the case would be closed. But she didn't do that because it was just gaslighting, pure and simple. Take a listen to clip number one of President Jill Biden refusing to let go of power.
I saw in him then the same character that I see in him today. And even though he has faced unimaginable tragedies, his optimism is undaunted. His strength is unshakable. His hope is undeterred.
That was clip number one. And if you were watching the video that clip was taken from, you know what you would have seen? You would have seen Jill Biden behind the microphone wearing a black dress with white letters that said vote all over the dress. And she was giving the talk because he was not able to do it. And he's standing about 6 or 7 feet to her right. And he is just with his hands at his side and he is frozen. He looks like a mannequin. It is scary. It is terrifying. But they're letting you see all this because all of this is part of the Biden protocol. Take a listen to clip number two of President Jill Biden.
Joe, you did such a great job. You answered every question. You knew all the facts. And let me ask the crowd, what did Trump do? Lie! Yes.
So there again, you have President Jill Biden. She is now having to do a lot of the speaking for Joe Biden because he is just crumbling on a daily, if not an hourly basis. And he is going down the tubes very, very, very quickly. This is the Biden protocol. This is what they put in place 3.5-4 years ago, not knowing how long they would be able to keep the ruse up. They could only keep it going for as long as Joe Biden's physical and mental health remained intact. Well, his mental and physical health, they have been hiding from us for about 2.5 years. They have been deflecting at every possible moment. And now it's gotten so bad that they can't even control him for 10-minute photo ops like at the G7 on D-Day anniversary and other things of that nature. He is uncontrollable. And so the order was given last Thursday to initiate the Biden protocol, and that is how they are going to take him out. And they are doing it in exactly the same way that King David got rid of Uriah the Hittite, where he wrote in a letter saying, "Set ye Uriah in the forefront of the hottest battle. Set ye Joe Biden on national television with no safety net. and retire ye from him, that he may be smitten and die. And don't help him or cut away with the camera when he starts to fail. Let the entire world see the true condition of Joe Biden. And that's what they did. That's what actually happened last Thursday. And all of this is now coming together at the same time with unbelievable events that are taking place in Europe. On the podcast last Friday, we told you that many of the international newspapers and news reporting agencies, they're starting to use the expression, these things haven't been seen since World War II. And we can apply that to what happened to the Jews at the hands of Hamas on October 7th. We can apply that to the rise of the far right in Germany. We can apply that to the rise of the far right in Hungary. We can certainly apply that to the rise of the far right in France under Emmanuel Macron. And before we get to that story today, and this story is really equal with the Biden protocol, with what they're doing here in America. But before we do that, just a quick update on Bibles Behind Bars. Last week, I had a wonderful conversation with Chaplain Zachary at the Fulton County Jail in Atlanta, Georgia. And today, we are shipping them out hundreds of Bibles for use at their facility. I've also been emailing with Chaplain Milner from CIC Ministries in California, and they work at the Santa Clara Jail. Their Bibles are going out today as well. Still waiting to hear back from Chaplain Gonzalez at the Orange County Jail here in Florida, but his Bibles are packed and ready to be sent. On top of all that, I was contacted by a local homeless shelter here in St. Augustine, and they wanted to know if we could give them Bibles for their facility to help the homeless, and they're going to be coming by tomorrow, Tuesday, to pick them up. Over at the Free Bible Program, we continue to send out an average of 83 free Ruckman Reference Bibles per month to individuals who request them from our site. That's a minimum of 1,000 Ruckman Reference Bibles per year packed and shipped to needy souls all over the world. Did you know that NTEB is the largest purchaser of Ruckman Reference Bibles on earth? Well, it's true. That Bible is the backbone of our free Bible program, and it makes me so very happy to be able to send them to Christians who tune into our Bible studies, who desperately need a good study Bible, but they can't afford it. Your prayers and your donations make all of this possible. Your donations fund the free Bible and gospel track program, and your donations fund the Bibles Behind Bars program as well. If you would like to help us to cover the cost of these Bibles going out to the Fulton County Jail, the Santa Clara Jail, and the Orange County Jail, and for the homeless shelter in St. Augustine, please take a moment, go to BiblesBehindBars.com and click on the donate link. Please pray for our efforts. Please pray for the thousands and thousands of souls who receive from us, from each and every one of you who pray and donate, who receive King James Bibles, New Testaments, Scripture portions, and Gospel tracts. If God has prospered you, we invite you to pray for our efforts. And when I say our efforts, I mean all of us here at Now the End Begins. And click on that donate button and help us to cover the cost of all these Bibles. New requests are coming in on a daily basis. We've gotten the reputation as the place where you can go to get a Bible. And I love, love, love that. And the only way we can do that is through your prayer and generous financial support. Please go to BiblesBehindBars.com today, click on the donate button, and help us to continue to send Bibles to jails and prisons and detention centers all across America. Thank you very, very much. All right. We got to talk about Emmanuel Macron. Has he reached the end? Were we wrong about our opinion that he could possibly be the biblical man of sin? I'm not worried at all about what's taking place in France right now. I don't have any indication that Emmanuel Macron is going anywhere. He is going through a bump in the road. It's a big bump in the road. It's a bump in the road that would definitely throw off a lesser man who was not as empowered as somebody like Emmanuel Macron is. But he's going to get through this. He's not going to have a problem. He's going to figure it out. The Bible says this, because now is your hour and the power of darkness. And these are the times that we're living in. Adolf Hitler had a similar bump in the road. He wound up in jail. He wound up in prison for 9 months. And you know what he did? Did he run? Did he hide? Did he cry? Did he whine? Did he quit? No, no, no. He used that time in prison to write his book, Mein Kampf. And you know what he said when he was sentenced at his trial, when he was found guilty? Instead of coming up with an excuse or some phony reason why he didn't do what they accused him of, he looked right into the eyes of the judge and the jury, and Adolf Hitler said, "That's right. I did exactly what you accuse me of. I did it for the good of Germany, and if you let me out, I'll do it again." Can you believe the boldness and the arrogance of that man? Well, if you've ever read Daniel chapter 7 or Daniel chapter 10 or 11, you know exactly why Adolf Hitler said what he said. Adolf Hitler was a near perfect type of Antichrist. And he was number 555. And the next one up is number 666. Is Emmanuel Macron that man? Well, we think he is. Let's tune in to see what's happening after yesterday's snap election in France.
France and the rest of Europe are waking up to the possibility of the far right coming to power in one of the EU's founding members. Marine Le Pen's national rally has taken the largest share of the vote with 33% in the first round of snap parliamentary elections in France. President Emmanuel Macron's centrists, here in yellow, trailed in third place with 20% behind a left-wing alliance that pulled 28% of the vote. Macron is calling on voters to prevent the far right from winning a governing majority in next Sunday's decisive final round.
It's not only the result the far right were hoping for, but one they were sure they would get.
My dear compatriots, democracy has spoken, and the French have put the National Rally and its allies in the lead and practically wiped out Macron's bloc. In order to carry out the reforms that the country needs, we need an absolute majority so that Jordan Bardella is appointed Prime Minister by Emmanuel Macron.
Bardella, Marine Le Pen's protégé, was all smiles as he welcomed the results.
3 weeks after the European elections, which led to the call for these early elections, the French people have again delivered a resounding verdict and confirmed their clear desire for change.
From one end of the political spectrum to the other, a new far-left alliance in second place. They say they're the only alternative.
The country has to decide.
All right, so let me just stop that clip right there. I want you to understand what's happening in France right now. There are three main parties that are vying for control. The number one thing you have to wrap your head around, no matter who wins in this parliamentary election, this is not a presidential election. Emmanuel Macron is not going anywhere until the end of his term in 2027. He has another 3.5 full years to go. He's not going anywhere. Second thing is, there are three basic parties. There is the far right, that is Marine Le Pen. There is the far left. They are the pro-Hamas, pro-Palestinian, Antifa people. And then there is Macron's group called the Centrist Party. So in France, you have the far right, the far left, and the people in the middle. The far right yesterday won the election. The far left came in second place. Macron's party came in last place.
Is it going to become more divided? Increase social inequalities based on religion, skin color, social status, or where you come from? Or is it going to pull together and be one people that is going to work for the common good? Unconditionally. That is the choice you have.
Not according to the governing ensemble, or Together Party. France's Prime Minister issued his plea to the electorate.
Our objective is clear, to prevent the national rally from getting an absolute majority in the second round, from dominating Parliament and therefore from governing the country with the nefarious plan it has in mind. I say this with all the force that this moment demands of each and every one of our voters. Not a single vote must go to the National Rally. In circumstances like these, France cannot afford to hesitate at all.
Voters cast their second ballots in a week, and President Macron will be hoping for a different outcome.
Our correspondent Sonia Falnica in Paris told me more about the outcome of this first round of voting.
Well, Terry, the big story here today in France are really those massive gains of the far right made in this first round of parliamentary elections, really improving on its historical score in recent European elections as well. The French media here today are calling it a shock. They're calling it an earthquake, urging voters to, you know, set up now a barrage against the far right. And for President Macron, you know, he called this snap election 3 weeks ago, hoping that the recent triumph of the far right European elections, that would be just fleeting, that the opposite has happened. His gamble is now threatening not just to backfire, but is threatening to really upend the political order as we know it in France. Now, President Macron yesterday made a short speech and said, you know, that he was urging all the voters to now rally behind a broad alliance. He said a broad Democratic-Republican alliance to keep the far right out. But his centrist alliance has not made it clear whether this broad alliance would also include the far left, the far-led France Unbound Party, which is part of the alliance of parties on the left known as the Popular Front. They had a strong showing yesterday. And this is because members of this party have been accused of anti-Semitism. Its leader, Jean-Luc Mélenchon, is a very provocative, divisive figure. So that still remains unclear.
So the far right and the far left are both nationalistic parties. Over in Hungary, the far right has been rising as well. In fact, their slogan, Make Europe Great Again, suggests that Hungary's plans to make the most of its turn at the EU microphone, likely by taunting EU allies and talking up a resurgent right. Hungarian Prime Minister Viktor Orban takes center stage at a moment when the success of hard and far right parties in recent elections has shaken Europe's establishment, and the world is mulling the possibility of a return of former President Donald Trump. So the media is putting Trump and the European far right into the same category. But one thing is certain. Europe is preparing itself for World War III. If you have ever taken the time to watch any well-made documentary on World War II as it relates to Nazi Germany in the end of the 1920s up to the middle of the 1930s, if you have ever watched any of that stuff, you know that what you're seeing right now is almost a mirror image of the political temperature in Europe during that time period, and it is happening again right now. Now, could it be possible that something will step up and avert this seemingly unstoppable rush into World War III? Yeah, it's possible. We live in crazy times. Anything is possible. But what's happening in Europe right now with these crazy far left and far right parties and all these people saying these wild, wacky, and crazy things. Yesterday in Paris, thousands and thousands and thousands of people came out to protest the fact that Marine Le Pen's far right party won the election. Now, I wouldn't vote for her, but she won fair and square. Why are they protesting a legal election? Nobody is saying that the election was fake or phony or rigged or anything like that. Why are they protesting a legitimate election win of a legitimate candidate? Because there is turmoil all across France, Hungary, Spain, Germany, England, the United Kingdom. Europe right now is racked in political and socioeconomic turmoil.
Right now, though, Gavin Mortimer is here with us, reporting in from France, of course. He's at The Spectator. And last night, according to the Daily Telegraph headline this morning, Marine Le Pen says, "I have wiped out Emmanuel Macron. President's election gamble backfires as the National Rally win the first round of the election." Gavin, very good morning to you.
Morning, Mike. How are you?
Yeah, very well indeed. Thanks for talking to us. This wasn't unexpected, but the scale of it is probably bigger than Macron thought it would be, right?
Yeah, Macron took a huge gamble 3 weeks ago when the National Rally did so well in the European elections. He said, OK, let's go to the people for a parliamentary election. And he thought the people would rally around him, but they didn't. They hate Macron, yeah. Not just Le Pen supporters, but also the left.
Yes.
Jean-Luc Mélenchon, who's the French Gerald.
Now, I've said this many times before, and I'll say it again. I acknowledge and concede the point that Emmanuel Macron is a hated political figure within France. He has been hated the entire time, and yet somehow he got elected the first time, he got elected the second time. Somehow he was able to push his legislation through, bypassing French laws on how laws get passed, and a million people protested in the streets of Paris, set cars on fire, smashed storefront windows, and he was not put out of office. Do the French people, by and large, hate Emmanuel Macron? Yes, they do. Did the majority of German people in the late 1920s hate and were afraid of Adolf Hitler and his rabble-rousing? They absolutely were. He didn't win the German people over until 1933 to 1935. It took him 12 years of wearing down the resistance of the German people until it got to the point where he was loved and then worshipped and then became an idol to the German people, just like Antichrist will. So, I acknowledge that Macron is hated, but he's not going anywhere.
Corbyn, they did very well, Mike. They got 29%, right, despite the fact that some of them are pro-Hamas, anti-police. They want to defund the police, despite the the lawlessness, the crime in France. There's some pretty radical individuals in that party, but they still got 29% of the vote because Macron's so hated.
Yeah, it's interesting, isn't it? And the way the system works there is this is the first round, and then there's a second round coming up. I'm not quite sure when. Maybe you can tell us. And at that round, it may well be that there's a sort of coalition, if you like, of the left.
The second round is going to take place a week from yesterday. That's when the second round of voting. So we're going to know within 6 days.
Which will keep the Pen crowd out of government.
Yeah, the second round is on Sunday in 6 days' time. And traditionally, you've had a Republican front. So that is the left and the centrists ganging up together to keep out the Le Pen family. Mm. Because before Marine, you had her dad, Jean-Marie Le Pen.
So Emmanuel Macron is going to have to form a league with the far left, the anti-Israel, pro-Palestine, pro-Hamas, pro-Antifa far left. That's who Emmanuel Macron has to form an alliance with now. So the backroom deals are well underway. The promises are being made. The hands are being shaken. And this is what Emmanuel Macron has to do. And he is, I can promise you that he is in the process of doing right now any deal that he needs to make to retain power. And he will do it. He is doing it. And we will continue to report on this to you. Now, before we end the podcast for today, I just want to read a random sampling of headlines that are trending in the news right now. Supreme Court sends Trump immunity case back to lower court. Supreme Court votes 6-3 in favor for Donald Trump. Steve Bannon to report to federal prison to serve 4-month sentence. 40-year high voter turnout as France moves to the far right. For the first time since World War II, riots rocking Paris. Brexit backlash. Brits now regret their populist revolt. Hungary taunts allies with Make Europe Great Again. U.S. Army base issues alert over terror attack in Europe. And down and down the list it goes. 72% of Democrats want Biden removed and off the ticket. Over in Israel, ultra-Orthodox Israeli men protest against the military draft order. Christian warrior training in America explodes as churches put faith in guns. There's a development for you. Vladimir Putin to send Russian children to North Korean summer camps. Wow. Wow. Let's see if there's any more. Tesla. They are building a single lane highway in a tunnel under Las Vegas, and it's going to be for Tesla drivers only. And last but not least, the first hurricane of hurricane season, Hurricane Beryl, is barreling up the coast. And it says here, Hurricane Beryl will race across the Windward Islands Monday as a dangerous Category 4 hurricane, with great risk to lives and the likelihood of destruction from winds and storm surge prior to pushing across the Caribbean. Now, there is no indication at this moment that Hurricane Beryl is going to hit the United States. It looks like she is on track to go through Barbados, St. Vincent and the Grenadines, Grenada, and Tobago. And it looks like it is going to miss the United States nearly completely. But it's going to go right through Cuba, the Caribbean, the Gulf of Mexico to the south, and South America to the west. So please pray for everybody in the path of Hurricane Beryl. But as you can see, the news hasn't gotten boring. The end times have not taken a break. And here, on day 1,568 of 15 days to flatten the curve, things are just as crazy today, July 1st, 2024, as they were on March 16th of 2020. The players have changed a little bit. The particulars have changed a little bit. But the end times are as hot as they have ever been, and they continue to get hotter on a daily basis. And with that, we've come to the end of our time for today. Thank you so much for being a part of the NTEB Global Family of Bible Believers across America and around the world. Lord willing, we'll see you back here tomorrow night, Tuesday, 7 p.m. for another NTEB Rightly Dividing King James Bible study. Have a great day, everybody. And look, keep looking up. The Lord's, He's coming back. He's going to get us. And everybody who's left behind is going to wonder where we went. Keep the faith. Fight the good fight. Finish your course. And finish strong. Have a great day, everybody.
Something's happened, folks are going crazy. I'm hearing talk about outer space. Someone broke in and robbed a cemetery. Open graves all over the place. Been looking high and low, trying to find my brother. No one knows for sure where he's gone. The house is unlocked, his keys are on the table. His car is here and all the lights are on. Where's John? John said something a long time ago. I remember laughing out loud. Said Jesus was returning, and one day he'd sound the trumpet. He'd rise up to meet him in the clouds. John had always fought my battles. He loved me like a son. He'd always talk to me about the Lord. But I would never listen. I'd always put it off. What if I don't ever see him anymore?
Lord, can you hear me? Help me find the one that I depended on. I'm afraid it's gone down just like the Bible said. Please somebody tell me I'm wrong.
I keep looking, but nobody's seen him. We can't find him anywhere. Where's John?
Where's John? Lord, can you hear me? Help me find the one that I depended on. I'm afraid it's gone down, just like the Bible said. Please somebody tell me I'm wrong.
Where's John?
Where's John? I'm so afraid it's gone down, just like the Bible said. Please somebody tell me I'm wrong.